All right, Jetta Cameron, John Riccio, on just a really busy day for us. I mean, it's one of the more busy shows we've had of just a lot of news. Again, the biggest news of the day, Gabe Kapler out, fired by the Phillies. We await to find out, is he still going to be part of the organization or not? Why Klintak stays, why McPhail stays. These are things that will be addressed in a press conference tomorrow at 1 o'clock with Middleton, McPhail, and Klintak holding a press conference. Again, one that you can hear right here on our show tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So that's all in the air, as is some Eagles talk as they get ready for the Vikings and more, and Carter Hart looking awesome. So for more on all of this, or for more specifically as we move toward week six of in the NFL and fantasy football, let's go out on the Swartz Carlton guest line. If you're injured at work, get justice. Call Swartz Carlton at 800-JUSTICE. Our buddy Paul Charchian from fanball.com. You can follow his work all season long at fanball.com/charts. What's going on, Paul?
Good to talk to you. It's Eagles v. Vikings. Again, third straight year these teams have met. You guys crushed us when it mattered most to get to the Super Bowl. We, my squad beat you last year, and now for the first time we'll play here in Minnesota, where the Vikings are generally better.
Do you know that the Vikings facility is a better spot for the Eagles than the Vikings, like historically? Like the Eagles, they did this thing called win a Super Bowl there.
Well, there's that. So, there is that as well.
That's correct.
The field
Paul.
Is good to you at least once.
All
yes,
right, Paul,
absolutely.
Just give us, and we'll go all fantasy football in just a moment, but just give Eagles fans listening the scoop from your perspective. The Minnesota Vikings are what? What level of challenge for the Eagles?
I think I think that the Eagles are set very well to beat the Vikings because they are good in all the ways that the Vikings don't want opponents to be good. They're great against the run. The Vikings desperately need to have a running attack. The Vikings don't want to ask Kirk Cousins to go win games. And that's really the way this will probably shape up if they can't get Dalvin Cook going. The Vikings' offensive line remains dreadful. The interior is terrible. And there's so much pressure that the Eagles get from their front four that it puts Kirk in a position where he has to make these quick decisions under pressure, and that's when Kirk really unravels. So offensively, I'm very nervous about what the Vikings are going to be able to do here. And I don't love what your squad's going to be able to do on offense either, but I think the matchups favor the Eagles a bit here.
All right, Paul, let's get to fantasy football. Of course, Thursday night football tonight. Who to look at in tonight's game?
Well, here's who's not to look at in this game. Anybody. This is the week when you decide, you tell your wife, you know what, honey, it's a big game tonight. The Super Bowl champions are playing and Tom Brady, but I love you so much. Let's have a night out. Let me take you out to dinner. Or let's go to a movie. Let's spend some time together. And, you know, there's football another time. She doesn't need to know that this is the worst Thursday night game all year long. There, from a fantasy standpoint, it's so simple. You start every Patriot and you bench every Giant. And there isn't even much more to say to that than this one.
Well, there
week.
You go. There you go.
So I have Tyreek Hill, and obviously a bit major letdown this season.
Yeah.
When he's back, if it's this week, can you trust him right away?
Yeah, that's a great question because if he comes, let's say he's active. Do you know he's going to get all the snaps he would normally get, or do they ease him back out of any worry of that shoulder? And if they ease him back, then how much? Is it half the plays? You know, what does that mean? And it's going to be a real quandary for his fantasy owners. I've got him currently ranked 13th under the assumption that he plays, and if he's on the field, he gets most of the time. But let me talk more broadly about this, John.
What about the running back position, too, on that team?
Well, you know, McCoy's been hobbled with this ankle injury. They didn't even hardly let him on the field last week.
Yeah.
They gave it all to Damian Williams. And I think that's a trend that may continue here. McCoy's been meh. That's it. Including, by the way, 11 carries inside the five. He's only scored two times. Mm. Yeah, I'm pretty nervous about McCoy.
Bad for me, too.
Paul, bye weeks obviously going on now in the NFL and affects fantasy football. Strategically speaking, do you have a strategy that you prefer? I mean, that it's just is something that's a catch-all for how to navigate these next handful of weeks?
Yes, always be 1 week ahead. If you're 1 week ahead, that means that you already have Kyle Allen on your roster this week because he's got Tampa next week, as an example, right? Or, you know, because you can find these easy matchups 1 week ahead. Everybody else scrambles same week to deal with their buys, and they're trying to find, you know, all the guys, whoever's playing Tampa, whoever's playing Miami, whoever's playing the Giants, whoever's playing Washington, and they go find those guys in week. If you do it a week ahead of time, you get you can pick up all the guys you want. And so that's the single best strategy, I think, right, in terms of managing
Paul,
guys.
Paul, Tyreek Hill could be back. Now, there's been a bunch of Chiefs receivers that have had success without him. What's the impact?
We hit on that earlier, but let me mention this about Tyreek Hill. One other thing. And I don't blame you for not really listening, Joe, because honestly, you know,
Richie talks,
the segment
like,
drags a lot.
I got Gabe Kapler on my mind here, Paul. What do you want me to do?
Let me mention this about Tyreek Hill. So Tyreek Hill goes out in week one, and instead of funneling the whole offense through like Sammy Watkins, instead Andy Reid puts a lot of reps into these second and third guys, DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman, and he broadens out the receivers that he can lean on with Patrick Mahomes. So now when Tyreek Hill comes back, does it go to what it was last year where everything went through Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and that was about it? Or do they go, look, we, you know, we have newfound confidence in Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson, and we can go to those guys more? I don't know that we get the same level of Tyreek Hill
this
year that
thing.
We got last year.
It's going to go to who's open, and when you're as fast as Tyreek Hill is, he
open
gets
lot.
Open, and the ball's going to get there when you got that guy slinging it. So I'm not too worried about his usage like you are. I am worried about Devontae Freeman's usage. I like him a lot, but what's the deal with the backs in Atlanta?
Holy cow, has he been bad. You know, let's just do a quick recap on where we are with Devontae Freeman, who's been under 2.7 yards per carry in 4 out of 5 games. Wow. His last 100-yard game was week 15 of 2017. He's averaging barely three yards per carry this year. And last week, the backup, Ito Smith, only 5 fewer snaps than Devonta Freeman.
Wow.
Change could be coming. Ito Smith's averaging a far healthier 5.2 yards per carry this year. If you've got Freeman, this might be one of your last chances to try to sell him on some name value.
Holy cow. How about other notable running backs who may not play? Todd Gurley, David Johnson, what do owners do?
Yeah, so Todd Gurley has got a quad injury. It's not the knee. It's not the arthritic knee, so that's the good news, but he's not practicing yet. And this is what you kind of knew you were signing up for was, you know, a workhorse who might be on the wrong side of his career. He's going to be in and out, and then the usage has been so weird with, you know, the very minimal number of carries, and they're not throwing to him anymore. And he may not go in this one. So if you've been somebody that picked up Malcolm Brown in week one, you've been sitting on him, you may be deploying him this week.
Wow.
And David Johnson's got a back injury. He may not go. Chase Edmonds would be the starter in his spot. Let me mention this.
He looked all right.
Yeah, he does look all right, doesn't he? They've been doing this thing where they have Chase Edmonds in the backfield. They got David Johnson out as a wide receiver. They do that a lot, and Edmonds is getting a lot of play anyway, and Johnson's been playing receiver a ton.
What about the Kyler Murray breakout game? Is it now?
It's now. This is it. I'm calling my shot. Yeah, I went through all of his passes last week and loved the improvement I saw in Kyler Murray last week. So much more poise. The accuracy is much better, and Cliff Kingsbury's giving him these designed runs. Here comes the Falcons, allowing a staggering 321 yards and 3.5 passing touchdowns per game, and they've given up 2 quarterback rushing touchdowns already this year. This could very well be the big breakout game for Kyler Murray. He's my number 7 ranked quarterback this week.
Paul, who do you play this week based on a favorable matchup that otherwise might be on the bench, and vice versa? Who would you bench this week because you don't like the matchup?
My favorite sneaky play out of the whole week is Gus Edwards. He is your backup running back for the Ravens against the Bengals, giving up 203 yards per game to running backs.
No way.
And 2 touchdowns per game to opposing running backs. The backups are averaging 70 total yards and 1.3 touchdowns per game against the Bengals. The backups.
Wow.
Mark Ingram's not going to get 200 total yards by himself.
Right.
Gus Edwards, available on most waiver wires. You can pick him up and start him this week. If you want a guy that you need to be nervous about, and I think it's probably pretty obvious for a lot of people at this point, but Juju Smith-Schuster is just plenty of questions about whether or not a third-string quarterback nicknamed Duck can get anything to him, and they just haven't been able to unleash these long bombs that Juju's been known for. He's way down at number 37 this week.
There is Deontay Johnson the receiver to look to?
Yeah, it is.
He's available, I guess?
I think so. I mean, in as much as any Steeler, you know, with all the questions at quarterback, isn't in as much as any of the Steelers' receivers, but Deontay Johnson looks great, and he's already blown past James Washington in the pecking order.
All right, fanball.com/charts. We'll be talking to Paul as we do every Thursday during the football season, 12:45. Again, fanball.com/charts. Paul, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, there he is, a machine of fantasy football. And I quickly, you know, the internet's not working for me right now. I don't know why. I'm trying to get these guys. I'm trying to get Gus Edwards. I'm trying to get Kyle Allen. Might try to get Gustav Mule if I need a kicker. If you remember the Disney movie from the 70s, of course, John always makes fun of me when I bring up Gustav Mule. It's a whole nother matter. I'm trying to get these guys. The internet's not working for me right now. It's outrage before Richie gobbles them up.
You have a phone, don't you? You can do it on the phone.
Yeah, I know. And it's like not working. I don't know why. Ever since this damn Apple thing happened on my phone like 3 days ago, and Seltzer had his grubby hands all over my phone trying to fix my phone.
What Apple thing
happened? I don't
know.
Some update, and now I can't get the internet in my apartment, and I'm not getting here.
What's
going on? I don't know.
Are you the only one who's having an issue?
I suppose.
I don't think I'm having
an issue. My phone's working fine.
It's ever since Seltzer had his hands on my phone.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones. I'm like Klintak. I'll blame the injuries.
Sabotage.
I blame the injuries.
Jimmy.
All right, let's go to the phones. Kapler out. What do you make of it? 888-729-9494. I don't think he should have been fired. Joe in Washington. Joe, what's going on, man?
Joe, John, good morning.
Hi, Joe.
I actually found out about his firing through you guys, bringing back trailers from our Redmond hub to Hermiston, Oregon. And I got to say, I kind of feel bad that Kapler was fired because I feel like he was set up to fail. I mean, Klintak.
Absolutely correct.
Klintak hired a pitching coach with no experience. He hired a manager with no experience. I mean, none of these guys could probably even manage a lemonade stand. It's so sad because I feel like none of them had the qualifications in the first place to be considered for a manager's job or even like a pitching coach's job. We saw the pitching roster regress this year, and I'm like, you know, where does that start with? Well, it doesn't start with Kapler. He just put his name in the ring. McPhail and Klintak. Like, where is the responsibility from them? Where don't they, are they responsible?
Joe, here's the one. I will tell you this one thing on, because I'm pro keep Kapler and they chose not to. I will tell you the one thing. If you want to do a deep dive on the situation that you can say Kapler's really responsible for the nature of things you're talking about. He could have stood up more and, for lack of a better way to put it, fought the directives that were coming from above him over the last 2 years. He could have. And I think stronger-willed managers would have done that. He chose not to. I think we all know he rode with a lot of the directives that came from above. He is suffering the consequence, but he could have done that. A guy like Joe Torre would have done that. Other guys would have done that. Tony La Russa would have done that. So I'm just saying part of being a manager is managing up. And you can make the case he may not have managed up effectively, and he allowed the stuff from above to infiltrate the squad.
You know what? I agree with that. I think he was afraid to initiate some of that pushback.
And by the way, his salary kind of...
I think Klintak knew that, too.
Yeah. And here's the thing, and Joe, thanks for the call. His salary kind of speaks to that. Again, John, I was stunned when we found out just a couple of weeks ago that Kapler makes like $1 million. I know to you and me and all, it sounds like a ton, and it is, like in regular world talk. But in baseball talk, in sports talks, in 2019, I mean, when you got a player in Bryce Harper making $25 million a year, $330 million guaranteed, you got a Flyers coach making $5 million, and then you find out Kapler's making about $1 million? I'm like, wait a minute. Something doesn't make sense here.
About $1 million, like round that way down,
right?
Too.
Yeah. Like 700,000. That doesn't, like, so he was kind of hired, but not empowered. And I really hope that whomever is the next manager, Madden, Girardi, Ibanez, Showalter, whomever, I hope the manager is empowered. It's really important. I mean, the manager is going to control the guys for 200 days. I want him to have the power to do what needs to be done and not have everything come from above. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia.
Do they want the manager empowered?
That's a great question. And a question that would be the type of thing to ask tomorrow at the press conference.
Right.
Again, 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. Jota Cameron, John Ritchie broadcasting from the Tasty Cake Studios. Let's talk to Mark in Montgomeryville. Hey, Mark.
Hey, so if you'll let me rage for a little bit, because I think everything you guys are saying is absolutely correct. So I don't see how this press conference can be anything but an absolute bloodbath. Because you know what? It's time for Middleton to realize that you don't get to do victory laps when you shell out $330 million and a player takes it because it's the most money on the table. You don't get to take victory laps, and you don't get to talk to the fans and tell them that an offseason is objectively excellent. Because guess what? We have eyes. We're not stupid. And if an offseason is excellent, we don't need to be told it's objectively excellent. I hope they slaughter the three men on the dais tomorrow so they realize that this is Philadelphia. This isn't some Cracker Jack town, wherever McPhail has been before, wherever Klentak cut his teeth before. This is Philadelphia. And you don't talk to the fans as though they don't know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You treat us with respect, and you bring a winning team. Middleton wanted that coup within the family to own the team. Well, this is what it's like owning a team in Philadelphia. Give us a winner.
I hear you, Mark. Yeah, look, I hear you. And this is also one of those times where, and I'll tell you straight up, this is part of what makes Howard Eskin Howard Eskin. A moment like tomorrow, he'll ask the tough questions. He will. Like, Howard will get in there.
Yeah.
And I do think, I mean, as someone who grew up around here 41 years, like, these are the moments where, as a fan, there are certain media members you say, all right, media member, Mr. X, Mrs. Y, you know, whomever, like, get us the information we need. Ask the appropriate questions.
You're speaking for us.
Yeah, you're speaking for us.
Exactly.
And you know Howard will do a good job digging in there tomorrow. And by the way, others will as well. I'm just using Howard as an example. Historically, I mean, Eskin's been to hundreds of these. I mean, probably 200 of these press conferences. Hirings, firings, decisions to keep, first-round draft picks. I mean, these type of things. This is a big one, though. As press conferences go, this is a big one because it'll shape how people feel. And it's going to take a lot for John Middleton to make people feel good with Klentak back, McPhail back, Kapler out, farm system, what's the deal? Like, what is going on here? Let's go to JD in Delaware. Yo, JD.
What's up, fellas?
Hi, JD.
What's up, Johnny?
Hi.
Hey, he's going to be the laughing stock of Philadelphia if he doesn't spend another $300-400 million on pitching and a team that's going to listen to, I hope it's not Showalter, because I'm going to tell you right now, he sucked in Baltimore, and Andy McPhail sucked in Baltimore, and he still sucks. And McClintock needs to go back to high school or something because he sucks. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to have a burning party if it ain't a good conference tomorrow, because I'm going to tell you what, I'll burn all my Philly stuff.
Don't do that. I mean, do what you want, but that's not my style, JD. Listen, it's still the squad we love. I mean, it just is.
We love them, but, man, we're spending our time and money. Don't you wake up with your heart pounding when them Eagles are up the bat and they get it done, and your whole day and your whole week goes good? That's what I do for
I get
all
it.
My
I get it.
Philly,
I get
but
it.
I can't.
Right, so whose jersey are you burning? You're burning a jersey tomorrow. Whose jersey are you burning?
I'm going to burn Andy McPhail's jersey on his back because I'm about sick of hearing about these losers. And we got to sit there and act like we're some morons, and we watch more baseball, football, basketball. We watch all these sports, and we live and breathe it. And these morons, because they sold cigars and made millions and billions, and they don't have a clue that we don't know that they all suck.
JD, we hear you, man. I mean, you're making
definitely a record for sucks said in a phone call.
Just five or six. Look, you gotta own it. You gotta promise that you'll do better, and then you gotta prove it. I mean, I think it's very clear Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman did that. I mean, Lurie's had a number of press conferences that weren't very comfortable for him. I mean, not a ton, but he's had them. And the bottom line is, yeah, right. And people laughed at him.
That?
I do remember.
Yeah, emotional intelligence. We killed him for that.
It became a thing. But you know, to Jeffrey Lurie's credit, and look, it took him 20 years he was on the right track with Andy Reid. I mean, they had a very successful team for a while. They just hadn't won the Super Bowl. Look, Andy Reid in 9 out of 11 years in one stretch made the playoffs. That's incredibly impressive in pro football, particularly in a salary cap era. The reality is John Middleton tomorrow has to own it. He has to explain how they will do better moving forward. And then ultimately, the words are just words. Then after that, you got to demonstrate over the next 6 months in the lead up to the season, and really over the next 2 to 3 years, you just got to, you know, proof's going to be in the pudding one way or the other. You're either going to be good or you're not going to be good, and time will tell, and we will formulate our opinions like we did on Doug Peterson, who was lambasted on the way in the door, by the way, in part, John, because of a press conference that was nonsensical. I mean, Doug stood in his introductory press conference and was still trying to tell you that Andy Reid trying to burn the clock versus New England in a playoff game was smart. They were down 14. And Doug was trying to shovel some nonsense out there. They didn't want Tom Brady to get the ball back last. Like, what? In the end, it didn't matter. What mattered is Doug Peterson in his second year won a Super Bowl. So it is about results. But we do want to hear some kind of framing of something that gives us confidence. 888-729-9494. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by the Casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. Wagering on all pro sports in a comfortable atmosphere with great food. Online at DelawarePark.com. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. All right, it was just a tremendous job by the Flyers, and specifically Carter Hart last night. Youngest Flyers goalie to ever have a shutout. You know, obviously at this age, youngest. Today's question, is Carter Hart the real deal? A, yes, B, no. Lots of votes have come in at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. John, where do you think the voting results have come in? A, yes, B, no. Is he the real deal?
Overwhelmingly, yes. 95% yes.
You are good.
Boom.
You are good. It's 94.
Oh,
it's 94. Well done. And I got to tell you, and I said it, and we didn't get into it as much as we otherwise would have because the breaking news and the Phillies certainly, you know, controlled the narrative of the conversation today. I'm telling you, I know a lot of people probably didn't watch the Flyers last night, and a lot did. For those that didn't, I understand they've been kind of off the radar for a couple of years now. Carter Hart is really good.
He's so legit.
He's really, really good. And what I saw last night, and going back to the first game, I truly believe it's a game changer, not just for the Flyers, but for all of Philadelphia sports. A straight-up game changer is happening in front of our eyes, and he's 21 years old. It's very exciting to finally, I think, get the Flyers back. It's huge. 888-729-9494. By the way, coming up later this hour, around 1:20, our buddy Vysik Ahemi in studio with us. His thoughts, the Eagles, where they are so far, 3-2 out of the gate, the Phillies' decision to fire Kapler but keep Klintak and McPhail. We'll talk to Vi coming up at 1:20 today. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Chris. What's up, Christopher? Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
You got
Thanks
it,
for calling.
So I'm not angry, Chris, today. I am angry, confused, and befuddled, Chris, today. So I've over the year, I've evolved. Kapler won me over a little bit because he
Can I just say, Chris, just a quick question. When did that happen? Yeah. I'm curious because I've noticed the change just in the last 2 weeks. Did he win you over in the last week because he became sympathetic dangling, or was it earlier because you saw the non-players that Klintak gave him?
He won me over in May and June, more May, because they didn't – I mean, come on, let's face it. By then, we all saw that they didn't have a pitching staff, a starting pitching rotation. Plus, they also went into the season with no bench whatsoever. Other than Kingery, who did they have on the bench? So he won me over. I don't like his press conferences, but I got to give it to him. I don't know many managers who could have gotten this team to 81-81. I was wrong. I evolved. He kind of lost me again when he after a loss, he talked about how great the at-bats were in the ninth inning, even though all three guys struck out.
That was a bad moment.
Yep,
for sure.
Yeah, that's where I thought, okay, he's just not going to change. But to me, he was a good soldier. He did exactly what McPhail and Klintak wanted. And right. So if Middleton is letting him go and keeping the guys who said, well, if we don't, we don't, and they didn't, what's the problem? Why is he gone? So I think that obviously the players said something to Middleton over this last week and a half of whoever he visited with. And I have a problem with that because, quite frankly, I don't like a lot of these players. If you need a manager to get guys to run out of the box and not showboat and not loaf, that's not just on the manager. That's on these players. And if he's listening to guys like, I don't know, Segura and Neris and Neshek and just these unlikable guys. I have a problem with that.
Yeah, I hope Neshek didn't get a vote, so to speak, in this process.
Oh, that would be awful.
That would be ridiculous. That would be awful. Chris, appreciate the call. Let me throw another one out here, John, at you and James as well, because there's another part of the Middleton statement that we really haven't gone back to. And this is a biggie. Again, we read it once, and then we moved past it because there were so many different parts. This was a big sentence in Middleton's statement. And John and James, I'm curious your reaction. Here's what Middleton wrote when describing everything he described, essentially saying Kapler's out. He wrote, "Reassuring to me was the endorsement that people outside the Phillies gave to the progress we have made recently, both organizationally and on the field." John, what's your reaction to that?
Wait.
So the prior sentence, he had talked about how he said, during the second half of the season and continuing into this week, I have evaluated our organization extensively, a process that included talking to many people both internally and around the league.
Right.
So he then goes on to say, reassuring to me was the endorsement that people outside the Phillies gave to the progress we have made recently, both organizationally and on the field. What I'm asking you, John, as a Phillies fan, what is your reaction to that statement?
Who the heck was he talking to that was reassuring him about progress being made on the field? Okay, organizationally, I don't know anything about that stuff. Whatever that means. Like,
well, that's not
the
but
way
it's
things
also,
are being.
But organization is also the farm system. That's
put
like,
together.
That's the biggest part of the organization.
Then that's a joke. That's a flat-out joke. And whoever you're talking to, sever ties. If you want this program, if you want this organization to ever amount to anything, stop talking to those people because they're giving you terrible advice. If that's who you flew to go see, lose their address and their number and all that.
Right. I mean, the thing is they actually...
Is that an opponent? Like, yeah, seriously, is that the Braves front office?
Exactly.
Because they're thrilled
now. They have made progress. The problem is they haven't made nearly enough progress. Yes, they're not the 2016 Phillies. They're no longer the worst team in baseball.
That really ticks me off.
And I figured you'd react that way. James, you have the same reaction?
Yeah, what progress? That's my response to it. When I hear that, I'm like, what progress? They won one more game this year. One more game. The on-the-field progress, one game. That's what we're talking about.
Wow.
There you go. All right, more phone calls up ahead on a big day. Kapler fired by the Phillies. We'll continue to address that. Your phone calls. Also, Vysek Ahemah in studio. Time's yours at 1:45. Get the calls into the... How about this? React on Time's Yours to Gabe Kapler. Out. Pro, con, whatever you're feeling in your heart. As Jeffrey Lurie once said, what did he say, James Seltzer? You got to open your heart. The thing about Time's Yours, though, you also have to open your mouth and speak. That's the only way Time's Yours works. So Time's Yours for Kapler
Spill
being
your
out.
Guts.
215-625-6550. Best of the best calls, 1:45 today and tomorrow. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP. Hey, you've probably already heard me say many times that FanDuel Sportsbook is offering a $500 risk-free bet to new users. That's right, $500. But while that risk-free bet is an amazing deal, it's also just the beginning because FanDuel Sportsbook has tons of other awesome promos happening all the time. Plus, the new cash-out feature makes it easy to take your winnings early. Tons of sports and games to choose from, including tonight, Thursday Night Football. Also tonight, a Game 5, American League winner take all. You can find that game Saturday, college football, Sunday pro football, including Philadelphia at Minnesota. So many games, so many types of bets, prop bets, over-unders, all that stuff. It's right there for you at FanDuel Sportsbook when you sign up using promo code Joe. That's right. Promo code Joe is the key because it gets you the best deal. Signing up is simple. It's easy to add money to your account or withdraw your winnings whenever you want. So download the app to bet from anywhere in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. Signing up with promo code Joe. It is incredible. If you lose the first bet, FanDuel Sportsbook will give you a refund and site credit of up to $500. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app now or visit FanDuel.com/sportsbook to claim your risk-free first bet of up to $500. Promo code Joe with FanDuel Sportsbook.